from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Royteam.
Every single time I turn the radio on, either G or Ursula is out of town or somewhere, but not today. Happy Tuesday. It is the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. So nice for both of us to show up today.
Yeah. We had some people say, I don't understand. Where are you guys? We're back. That's happening. We back. Ursula's good to be here. Chef is here. The gang is here. We got a big show today. Ursula, can you tell us what's coming up on the show and also how to find us?
Absolutely. So coming up at 10 o'clock, we are going to have the conversation about John Gruden and his resignation, but how it's actually a symptom of a much larger problem. So we're going to kind of dive into that. That's coming up at 10 o'clock. At 9:33, should your credit scores have anything to do with your insurance rates? Well, a ruling recently says yes, it can. So we're going to talk about that coming up at 9:33. But just a reminder that we want you to connect with us in real time. So you should text our new State Roofing text line at 888-973-5476. That is 888-973-CHIRO. We want to hear from you.
All right, let's get to it. Ursula's top five news stories of the day. Brought to you by Economy Fence Center.
About 90% of state workers are now vaccinated from COVID-19. That's coming ahead of next Monday's deadline. That's also up 20% since last month. The state patrol is now at 90% vaccinated. The governor says the skyrocketing rates of vaccination should ease any concerns about massive disruptions among state workers, at least. King County is at 83% as of this morning. The Seattle Police Department is at about 85%. But the head of the union says this vaccine mandate could lead to the loss of several hundred officers.
Cops have just had enough. Some people are willing to walk away from the job just to show solidarity to their fellow brothers and sisters because they're so tired of the division.
That was Mike Solon on the Dory Monson Show yesterday.
I've been in situations where I told her, I said, you know what? I'm leaving. Things ain't right. I'm leaving. And you know what she said? She said, okay. And I said, well, wait a minute. You're supposed to give a fight, right? You're supposed to put up a fight. The positive news in this, and I'm going to try to do a good job today. I want to talk about positives because this is we're back today after having a day off yesterday. Ursula, the positive news is this. There's a lot of people that's vaccinated. There's been a 20% increase in vaccinations. Why? We need to focus on the positive. October 18th is coming. Then we'll find out. We will really find out who is about it. I told you before, talk is cheap. Actions are expensive. We are going to find out then. But right now, sounds like there's a lot of people that's gotten vaccinated. What was the number, Chef? How about for state employees in the state of Washington?
It's 90%.
90%. So that means that 10% basically are saying right now, you know what, we're going to leave. Well, let's talk about that 10%. Well, that 10% sounds like, I bet you, some of you guys can be replaced. Some of you guys can have somebody come in and take that job. Because the worst thing that happens sometimes is when you leave a job and they don't even fill your spot. That lets you know what kind of value you had at the first place. I'm not trying to be a jerk right now. I just want to go ahead and focus on the positive. The positive is people are getting vaccinated.
Yeah. And although I wish it never had come down to a mandate, it is hard to argue that it hasn't worked, given the big increases we've seen just in the past month. But for SPD, I think it is going to boil down to less than 10% of the force, which would still be too many to lose from an already depleted department. But based on conversations that I've had with officers in the department, a lot of this is posturing by the police guild to have more leverage. But some of the officers have also told me that there are cops who think that they could be part of a big lawsuit and get a payout and still get their jobs back. So for that, you know, whatever, 10% or less than 10%, it's a gamble, both for the city and for those officers. But it is very divisive, and I wish it wouldn't have to get to this.
You know, 2 months ago, a month ago or so, when we first started talking about this, you know, the reports was like 40%. 40%, the Seattle Police Department could lose 40% of their force. Remember that? I can pull that up. It was 40%. Then it went down to 35%. Then 30, now 25, now 20, 25, now 15.
You're sounding like 15, you're at an auction.
I mean, what's going on here? It started off at 40%. Now we're down to maybe under 10%. What happened?
Yes. And I just hope it doesn't backfire for either side. And there are some that we're going to feel the pain if they, in fact, do leave or do walk out. And that would also be like the ferry department. And up to 200 workers could leave. So now they're talking about new sailing schedules. So, you know, it is going to be disruptive. Bus drivers, up to 2/3 of Seattle school bus routes could be canceled. Now, here's an opportunity, though. Either you're going to pay more or you are going to have just a very disrupted, school situation for hundreds and hundreds of kids, which would really stink. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be curious to see what does actually happen on Monday, because I think that's in my estimation, or my guess would be that there would be further compromise. To that end, should unvaccinated employees be allowed to keep their jobs if they do get regular COVID testing? That is what King County Councilmember Reagan Dunn is proposing.
We are threatened with a real loss of many, many sheriff's deputies, a couple hundred police officers. We can't afford that. There is a better way. And that better way, Dory, is to follow what most states have done. And that is allow for a weekly testing option so folks who, for whatever reason, don't want the vaccine don't have to get it.
Dunn told the Dory Monson Show he is petitioning Mayor Jenny Durkin and County Executive Dal Constantine to offer a weekly testing requirement as an alternative for those who are unvaccinated.
You know what? I changed my stance. I told you this morning that I was against that.
Yeah, you
did. I changed my stance. I'm for that now. But here's the rules. It has to be daily. It has to be daily testing, right? Just like the NFL, in order for them to continue playing and all that kind of stuff, let it be daily or every other day. This weekly, no. It's too much risk right there. Let these companies be on the hook. If an employer has the money to pay for that testing, then boom, let's do it.
Okay. I doubt that it's going to be a daily testing requirement. I think in most cases it is weekly, but I'm actually in favor of it too. And in the state of Washington, our requirements are way tighter than most states. And even under the federal rules, you can get the testing done. Mm-hmm. So I think that is a reasonable, I agree with Reagan Dunn. I think that is a reasonable proposal, and I am going to guess that will be something that will be offered. In Edmonds, there is a memorandum of understanding between the district and the teachers union there. So if there are unvaccinated instructors with exemptions, they can work remotely at a remote academy, or they can also continue in their classrooms, but they have to wear a KN95 mask and a face shield, and then get a COVID test every Thursday. Again, I think that's reasonable.
Okay. I just wanted to let you know that I changed my stance, and I think testing, and by the way, who pays for the testing?
Taxpayers, of course.
Oh.
You ask as if you're surprised.
Oh. Yes. So the taxpayers are on the hook for your weekly wait, shouldn't this be on the employer? Or and or their insurance?
About a state as the employer, well, who pays that?
Yeah.
The county, the city. Okay, so Southwest Airlines is experiencing a fifth straight day of widespread cancellations. 435 flights were canceled yesterday, bringing the total to more than 2,000 since Friday. And we get details now from CBS's Errol Barnett from Washington's Reagan National Airport.
We are threatened with a real loss of many, many sheriff's deputies.
Oh, let's try that again.
Early numbers show 7% of Southwest flights today are canceled or delayed, and so many have been pointing the blame at pilots. So we asked the head of Southwest Pilots Union if all of this really is over the incoming vaccine mandate, and they tell us that's not the case. The union says this operational meltdown was caused by the airline itself.
So Southwest again today is confirming that these staff shortages do exist, and it's been an issue since before the pandemic, but they're still blaming weather and other factors for all of the cancellations.
Southwest Airlines, where your bags fly free even if you're stranded. those pilots, they made a stance, and they made one that was loud and clear. And what they told me personally, that's why I don't fly Greyhound in the sky, because that's what I call Southwest. I call them Greyhound in the sky because of actions like that. It's unfortunate because people were impacted. There was a lady who missed her father's funeral because of that. Some people don't have the money to just go ahead and buy another flight on another airline. Some people, you know, were struggling. So a lot of people were impacted by that. And the excuse that they tried to give, I mean, there's pilots that are coming out and saying what happened and why they did those things. But of course, Southwest has to cover their bases or whatever.
Yeah. So there are some pilots who are saying, and I think someone was flying a don't tread on me flag.
They sure were. Sure. Yep.
And a lot of Texas Senator Ted Cruz is saying mm-hmm. that the media is trying to cover up the stories of pilots protesting. I truly believe that some of it is just bad planning by Southwest. Please don't make us try to believe that it's weather related. I flew on Southwest this weekend, and we were worried that we were going to be one of the cancellations. Thankfully, we were not. But it was so I felt embarrassed for Southwest when I heard the people on the intercom. So we're at our gate waiting, and someone is repeating, "My name is Ian. I'm just telling you, this is the update on flight such and such. We are still waiting for a pilot to show up." Okay, this is another update 50 minutes later. "Well, we now are waiting for one more flight attendant to show up." No amount of jokes on Southwest Airlines is going to make up for thousands and thousands of cancellations. And yeah, I think it just ultimately ends up looking really bad and would make me think twice about booking on Southwest Airlines.
Did Southwest Airlines, did they get a bailout during the airlines? Just curious. Chef, you know about them bailouts, bro. They get a bailout?
I'm pretty sure every airline got some Skrilla.
Oh, yeah. I gotcha.
Yeah. But in any case, and please do not try to, if there are Southwest pilots who were calling out to fight the COVID vaccines, can we not refer to them as patriots, as was stated in an op-ed in the Washington Times? Like, please don't co-opt the word patriot. Like, in my mind, a patriot is a hero. And that's not what I call a patriot. The National Education Association is now urging social media companies to crack down on a new viral challenge that dares students to vandalize bathroom schools, steal property, and then share the video online. Schools all across the country have been vandalized, even in Pierce County, where the Clover Park School District superintendent has told the News Tribune that this challenge has cost his district tens of thousands of dollars. Vandalize the Bathroom was the September challenge, but it's the one for October that has schools even more worried.
With the latest rumored viral challenge, slap a teacher.
This new challenge is assault. Are you concerned?
Certainly. Assaulting any employee is a zero tolerance offense.
Fearing the worst, the National Education Association sent a letter to Facebook, TikTok, and Twitter demanding the tech giants take action to regulate lies and fix your algorithms to put public safety over profits.
Oh, public safety over profit, human decency over profit. Ladies and gentlemen, capitalism rules, and those things are no longer. Let's be real. Money rules the world. Remember this summer, weren't we talking about TikTok? Weren't they having people do like parties out in the streets and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. The big parties during the pandemic.
Yeah, yeah. This is, first of all, what is wrong with these kids these days? But then again, I want to say, what's wrong with these adults these days? This is crazy that this happened. Vandalize a bathroom? Like, I mean, we did a little toilet paper back in the day. We TP'd some houses, some cars, some trees. We did those kind of things. We maybe painted a rock or something like that. You know, we skipped school. I don't know about these kids today. What is this?
Every day when you think about social media, you know, all the revelations from Facebook last week, and then you hear about this, you're like, my God, is this the devil? Seriously.
You know what this shows is the danger of engagement-based rankings on social media sites.
Yes.
Where if it draws eyeballs, it floats to the top like a turd. I mean, we first saw this in the news industry with engagement-based rankings for articles, right? And if you can get the most clicks, then that is what leads on the website. Well, you get trashed that way. And the thing is, it doesn't have to be this way. The companies don't have to sort things this way. But, you know, if it's outrageous, it sells. Go for it.
Absolutely. And now this October challenge, slap a staff member on the butt. I mean, it's just, okay, yeah, parents, what are we doing? Are we paying attention to our kids? Like, what is happening with their social media? That is just nuts. Okay, here's an update on the Seahawks and Russell Wilson. And I think this is a good news story. He was a spectator as the Seahawks returned to practice yesterday. Of course, he had surgery last Friday to repair that ruptured tendon in his right middle finger.
Russ had a very successful surgery, and we're really happy with all of the reports. And we don't have any timelines for you at all right now. So then that's all you want to hear. But we don't have anything like that. But
until Russell is ready to come back, Coach Pete Carroll says Geno Smith is ready to play.
He loves the fact that he's got this chance to help his team. That's why he's been here. He's been here for this opportunity when it does arise. And I was so proud of him and so happy for him to be able to jump out there and have a chance to take us down and win a game.
He also says running back Chris Carson might be back for Sunday's game in Pittsburgh. Why should we feel optimistic?
Because your worry is not on the offensive side of the ball. I think Geno Smith is perfectly capable of leading this offense. I mean, he's not Russell Wilson. Not many people are. I mean, let's be real. This is the first game that Russell Wilson is going to miss in his entire 10-year career. Nobody is Russell Wilson, but I do believe Geno Smith is capable of running this offense. I just don't think the concern is on the offensive side of the ball, Ursula.
Mm. Okay, so are we making any changes on defense?
Well, I mean, they kind of made some changes. They kind of had a little switcheroo a little bit at the defensive back spot. I didn't see Trey Flowers as a starter anymore. And I just think this defense has to kind of, you know, continue to get reps and get games under the belt. But when I was watching them on Thursday, I see it, man. I really see it. They're just not really clicking. I know everybody's like, yo, we've been telling you about the defense. Yeah, I'm more concerned now about the defense than I ever was.
Yeah, and you were mad at me when I said, well, now time to focus on the Kraken. Do you know that the Kraken, they're going to be playing their first inaugural regular season game in Las Vegas. There are people from Seattle and this area already there, ready to watch them. Check out that there's this guy, Jeff Randall from Tacoma. He spoke to Cairo 7 TV. He's been a hockey fan ever since he was 10 years old. He just turned 65.
So happy that we got the NHL team. I mean, best thing ever. And my buddy said, for your birthday, I'm taking you the first ever game. So that's why I'm here.
I mean, how cool is that? The Kraken are going to be playing the Vegas Golden Knights, but they're going to have a few less players. Five players were pulled from the game because of COVID protocols.
I got to share something with
you. What's that?
My childhood friend messaged me this morning. The first thing he sent me was a Kraken jersey. And I thought, that's weird.
These things are beautiful, by the way.
Yeah. He sent me that, right? And I'm like, huh, okay. And then he says, hey, I got a business idea. Oh, boy. when you hear that from the neighborhood, like, oh, boy, here we go. And he says, hey, let's make some shirts and put Let's Get It Kraken on there and sell them.
Trademark. I think we got some issues.
I was like, man, I really need the people in my neighborhood to travel further than a 2-block radius. Just get out and get away. What's coming up next, Ursula?
Okay, still ahead. Should credit scores be used to determine how much insurance you pay? I know we're going to have a good conversation here. We're going to talk about this recent ruling and how it affects you. You are listening to the G and Ursula Show. It is 9:34 on this Tuesday morning. Thank you for joining us on the G and Ursula Show. Should your credit score determine how much that you pay for in car insurance? The answer, according to a Thurston County judge, is yes, at least for now. That judge ruled last week that our state insurance commissioner, Mike Kreidler, did not have good cause to issue a rule that barred the industry from using credit scores to figure out auto insurance rates. So this is, of course, a big win for the insurance industry and for some consumers who were complaining that their rates actually went up when this rule went into effect. So I want to ask you, G, because we didn't get a chance to talk about this after the ruling, since it happened on Friday, I believe. Your thoughts on this?
This shouldn't happen. Credit score should not be used to assess what your car insurance premium should be. It's unfair. Let me just simply give you some examples. 90% of bankruptcies results from either job losses, medical expenses, and or divorce. That ends up usually messing up your credit. Do you think that someone's car insurance premium should go up because of those things? Insurance credit scoring is, I still believe, is unfair. Example, if let's just say if you shop around for insurance and each insurance company, let's say, checks your credit, it will increase the number of inquiries on your credit. That hurts your score. Let's say you have credit cards, but you like one credit card, but you'd like to use the rewards for it. And it does, your credit score is hurt because you use one because of your debt to income. Your credit card ratio ends up being worse. I can keep going on and on, but the last point I'll make is this. Here's the last point. You and I, we had on someone recently from payday loans, and we talked about the predatory lending practices for those who don't have income. I told you and shared with you guys the time that I myself went to a payday loan. If we can agree that those predatory lending practices were aimed at people that don't have money, then we still have to agree that this practice of your credit score being deemed with your insurance is totally unfair.
And that's where I think I'm going to disagree with you for a number of reasons. One is that your credit score is not the only only factor in determining how much you pay for your car insurance. But what do you feel should be determined, considered in coming up with should pay? What should be considered?
You ready? It's really simple.
Yeah.
Your driving history, your track record. So there's no way that someone, because the way the 30-year study shows that someone with bad credit will pay the same amount of insurance premium as someone with good credit with a wrecked car.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask this, Ursula. If someone has a medical emergency and their credit is messed up because of something out of their control, a medical emergency that they had to pay for, they had to go bankrupt. I want you to say it with me right now. Tell me you think it's fair for that person's car insurance premium to be raised because of their bad credit.
Well, you're using the one example where it shouldn't make a difference. And I would think that you could work with an insurance company.
How about divorce? How about divorce?
Okay.
How about job loss?
Okay. G, can I talk a little bit?
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So I think you make great points, but there are other factors. So you said, they look at whether it's the type of vehicle, demographics, where you live, your driving record. It is a matter of, I think, your insurance rates should also look at, hey, have you been a dependable person who can pay or does pay bills on time? And that is one of the things that goes into your credit record. So maybe we should look at it as, hey, the people who have great credit scores should continue to be able to benefit from that, but maybe they shouldn't be gouging those who don't have good credit scores. But yeah, what has happened in the case of what happened with Mike Kreidler is that people were, a lot of seniors were saying, wait a minute, now I'm paying more because this discount that I got because I've been paying on time, I have good credit scores, that can't be considered as part of my insurance. I think that we end up looking at the extremes, and I'm not trying to say that insurance companies don't take advantage of that.
Okay. Let me go to the stat that I just gave. I said to you, 90% of bankruptcies occur because of job loss, divorce, and or medical emergencies. That right there dings your credit.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all on the same page that we don't feel that those 90%, those people that file bankruptcy, we agree that their credit score should not go up based on.
Do you think everyone legitimately files bankruptcy because they just, you know, had a really bad experience, or do you think there are some people who do take advantage of the whole bankruptcy thing?
Are there, Ursula? Yeah, there are people that take advantage of the bankruptcy thing. But what you're trying to tell me that are you saying that the majority of people that file for bankruptcy are people that are taking advantage of it? Because
correct me if I'm wrong,
there's way more poor people in this in the country.
100%. And being poor should not be a reason. You can be poor but still pay things on time, or still be responsible, but you don't have to be rich to have a good credit score.
I mean, in
some cases, you just need to have a credit history. Sometimes some of the people with good amounts of money and never having to worry about a payment don't have great credit scores because you need to have some kind of debt history, too, so that they see that you can pay.
Here's what I've learned in the last 10 years as someone who's gone from poor to not poor. Here's what I've learned. America doesn't like poor people. Let me repeat. America does not like poor people. Because when I was poor, I was paying higher insurance premiums. I was paying higher amount for my car payment because my interest rate, right? All of these things. So how is someone supposed to get out of the rut if they're constantly being bombarded with
And I totally understand that. It shouldn't be to the point where you cannot ever get an improved score, or that you can never get credit, or that you can never get insurance, because it is a vicious cycle. But again, I think that can you not look at, you know, how it is right now and still give the people who have been paying on time, have, you know, worked on improving their credit scores, et cetera, can they get a discount because they, you know, that is one of the factors that they look at, instead of making it the only factor that determines whether you have to pay too much.
You know what I learned about people who start to get money in their pocket? For some reason, things are easier. Percentage rates are lower. You get free stuff here. Oh, you get enticement here. Come on here. Huh, weird. Weird that people with money get more free things than when you don't have money. It's a weird cycle. Hey, coming up next, speaking of charges and percentages, have you ever been to a restaurant and at the end of your receipt, you see other charge? Let me tell you about an experience that I had down in Milton at the Mill. I'll explain that next. It's Gene Ursula. It is the Gene Ursula Show. Happy Tuesday to all of you. Coming up at 10 o'clock, it's time for the top three things you need to know at 10. And oh, yes, we talk John Gruden and what happened with him and his resignation. We will discuss that at 10 o'clock. But right now, we need to talk order charge. That's right, Ursula, I've been doing this new thing. Lillian and I have been going to restaurants all over. We've been doing this thing. Lillian loves this stuff. We just go and we review restaurants. Anyways, we went to the Mill in Milton. And let me just say this. The food was absolutely fantastic. I mean, it was incredible. The atmosphere as far as watching the game was good. The service was all right. It was cool. But the part that got to me, that really stuck to me, Ursula, was the order charge. And at the very end of my bill, the subtotal, the tax, okay, I'm cool with the tax. We understand the tax. And then we know that we have to usually pay a 20% tip on that.
But then, Ursula, there was this order charge for $2.04. And I said, what is this about? And then at the bottom, it says a living wage order charge of 4% is added in support of the Washington State Initiative I-433. So we, the customers, are paying that. So let me get this straight, Ursula. When I go to a restaurant to buy the food, not only am I paying for the food, but then I have 20% gratuity to pay, and then I now have this order charge to pay, and then, of course, you have the tax to pay. All of this extra stuff to be paying. So I said to myself, self, should you be upset? And I said, know what? I'm going to ask Ursula when I see her again. So, Ursula, I'm asking you now.
Well, how often do we, and especially you, talk about living wages and how people should
all the,
be?
All the time. Mm-hmm. All the time.
And what have I told you at times when we say, well, you need to increase, but if you increase, you also have to expect that that money's going to be absorbed somewhere else. Okay. So in the case of that restaurant, they've decided that you should be the one to pay for it, mm-hmm. or you should be the one that pays for most of it.
No, they didn't. No, they didn't. So what they did, this is what they did. I disagree with you there. Now, if you increase your price, like for an example, ooh wee, that subtotal is a little high. Instead of it being $51, my subtotal is $75 because of the cost of the food. I can handle that more than I can handle my subtotal being $51 and then all of these other charges. And then, oh, by the way, I'm going to go ahead and tip. So what's happening
is instead of increasing the price of the food and drink, they're just showing you right here. This is how this is going to happen. This is how I'm going to pay them now. You know, $20 an hour versus
no. Right.
Well, why? Because right. That's exactly what they're doing. And they're telling you, they're saying this is because of this and we are paying more and this is why you're paying this fee.
Okay. But which, but only the
you,
only
you'd rather have it hidden. You'd rather have, you know, the hamburger $10 to $15.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, it's not hidden. Hold on. That's not hidden. That your costs are your costs. See, this is what you're doing. In my opinion, you're hurting the server.
Yes, I think you are.
You're hurting the server because here's the thing. I'm going to tip the server no matter what. But somebody else is going to come behind me, right? And they're going to look at that order charge and they're going to say, oh, I'm paying $2.04 for this mm-hmm. order charge. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. I'm going to take it out on this tip for the server. Meanwhile, that person doesn't understand that that server is going to get charged on that when they have to tip out the house.
Mm-hmm.
That's a game, Ursula. That is a nasty game that the server is the one that gets hurt. Meanwhile, the owners of restaurants, they benefit from this stuff. And I don't like it.
Yeah, clearly. I would rather know. I would rather know up front. It's like, this is what, as annoying as it is, and I agree. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to take it out on the server, but I'd rather know instead of paying more for food. I'd rather just say, here, you know, this is where the increase in this salary is going to come from, and you're going to be helping me pay these people more of a livable wage.
I don't like dink and dunk taxes. Have I not been consistent with that?
Yes.
All of these, you tax here, tax there, tax here, tax here. Coming up next, Ursula and I, we talk John Gruden. It's the G and Ursula Show.